right, Mama Hayes, we just got on right before this podcast is being recorded, and the energy is not high in our podcasts right now. So we have got to build some energy, and good thing we are going to talk about the second worst loss of the season and two in a row as Miami falls to 0-2 in ACC play. What a tough start for our Canes since the strong non-conference schedule.
Welcome, Canes fans and non-Canes fans who happen to be listening.
Yeah, big shout out to Matt and Donal, a couple of new listeners. Wanted to make sure we give them a shout and show that we're just high energy all the time, win or lose. So just want to give them a little love as we get moving here, mainly because I'm just deflecting on how frustrated I am on that second half, Mom.
Well, yeah, it was, I was frustrated with the whole game, but I expected a worse loss, as you well know, from our predictions last week. So I was surprised pleasantly in some small aspect of the game.
I was really pumped for that first half, even with the mistakes that happened. You had that dumb taunting penalty that gave UNC a longer drive. And then you had the turnover by Parrish right at the goal line, which was really frustrating. Go into the half winning 17-14. I was actually really impressed with this team and the resolve, especially with what happened against Georgia Tech. So I was excited for a really good second half. Unfortunately, that's when the wheels totally fell off of this Miami team.
Well, you've taken most of my points away from me. You've said them already. I have to say, I just was disappointed in Van Dyke's performance. Last week he seemed really off. This week he still seems off.
I know. I agree with you. He, in the first half, I thought he found it some again. I mean, he stepped up and made some incredible throws against some tough pressure. The touchdown late in the first half where he took a shot, and I believe it was to Restrepo for the touchdown, or it could have been George, was right over. I mean, it was a beautiful pass. You're like, okay, this is what he can do. Unfortunately, I think we're starting to kind of see what the ceiling is for Tyler Van Dyke, and it's going to be some really amazing passing games that is not consistent. I mean, I do feel for the guy. He's had three coordinators in the last 3 years. But at the same time, he's just not taken the step that we had hoped after his first year. And you kind of moved on from it after last year, because you know that it wasn't a great fit offensively for him and some injuries. This year, it seems that it was the right fit, especially after the Texas A&M game. I know he's maybe battling a hand injury as well, so that doesn't help. But it's just tough when you're watching Drake May on the other sideline looking like a possible Heisman winner / top five overall pick in the NFL draft. And Tyler is not. And again, he battled well, but I think we've kind of seen it. And again, I don't want to throw Tyler by any means under the bus, because I think he's a great quarterback. I think he does great. I think he battles and he's shown that. But I don't, I'm kind of more of like, where does this team go now with what's left in the rest of the season?
Well, we certainly had UNC playing on our behalf with their penalties. And, I mean, they had the most egregious penalties, and so many of them, and we still didn't take full advantage of them. I was amazed at as good as a team as they are, that they managed to get the penalties over and over, and sometimes one play after another, or in the same possession. It's just,
imagine if UNC didn't commit all those penalties. I think it was somewhere right around over 150 yards worth of penalties. They did have 508 yards of total offense. So it could have been a lot worse. I mean, this is Mac Brown has got Miami's number. This is five straight wins for him. He knows how to take down this team. And I mean, I saw what you wanted, that Mario was hoping to. You've seen that UNC defense, which is good, but I don't think is a world beater by any means, was physical. They were attacking our receivers. They were attacking downhill. And I watched a lot of our defense, especially as that second half went. They just looked tired. Cam Kitchens, as you know how good he was, felt like he was missing some tackles here and there. And, you know, just the things that we've been praising about this team in the first third of the season just didn't see in the second half at all.
Well, you have to give the defense credit, because that game wouldn't have been anywhere near what it was had they not hung in there. And yes, they were definitely getting gassed by the middle of that second half, but they managed to keep it going. Don't know how they did it.
And I think watching this team, especially last week, and I know that I'm really going to be focused a lot on Mario's in-game coaching decisions, but some of the decisions, especially obviously last week not taking a knee, and then this week of the third, where was it? There was a holding penalty that he declined. Instead of making it second and 30, he made it third and 20, and Drake May threw a touchdown after that. I feel like if it was fourth down, yes, he declined the penalty. I'm not sure why you don't take that penalty and push them further back from the end zone. So some of his coaching decisions are head scratching.
I didn't understand that either. Again, as little as I know about football, I would not have done that.
And for the second week, I tried to listen to the post game, Don Bailey, Joe Zagacki, because I guess that's a tradition now when I'm sad, to try and find some of their sadness as well and wallow in it. But I was not getting any service that was able to pick up the feed. So I didn't even get to enjoy the sad part, because I did want to actually hear of, okay, what is Mario talking about? You know, how pro they are on the podcasts, or not on the podcast, on the radio call, about this team and about the coaching decision. So I did kind of want to hear what the explanation was, but I, be honest, haven't really looked since then, and just frustrated. So, Mario is a really good recruiter. Obviously, you can see that the team is getting a lot better. But are we just going to be in this thing of like, okay, we have a great team that has all this talent around, but we have a coach that's going to get in the way of this talent? And I hope not. I really want Mario to succeed. I think, again, more of the issues that I have and frustrated with Mario is more in the sense of like, everybody that just wanted a new coach after Manny, and just this continued, we're only going to give a coach 3 years, and then we then hired a coach for 8 years. And I just kind of feel like it's a double standard in sense of this. And I'm frustrated, which is more of it. But you know, I'm hoping, especially since I was there and I really like Mario my freshman year, I want to love him. Just don't make it so hard right now. Don't make it so hard to love you.
How can you recruit, though, when the recruits are looking at these bonehead decisions that the coaches are making?
I don't know. He's very, because he did this at Oregon and had the same issues and continued to bring in great talent. He's just a really good recruiter with whatever that looks like. He brings in the talent. He knows what he's doing in that sense. I hope it doesn't then end up hurting recruiting and going, okay, you can do that, you can go to this school, but you're not going to win a lot of games. And again, it all depends too of just like what the kid's into as well. Recruiting, like, okay, I really don't care about winning games, but as long as you get me to the NFL, then I'm happy. So that's where we've got to see if his talent starts making it to the NFL in a couple of years, which I imagine is what he's selling to a lot of players right now, that you will get there, and why is recruiting still working? But I'm just pulling that out of my rear. Who knows why it's working? Seems to be. Hopefully it doesn't hurt him by continuing to make boneheaded decisions. Not going to be able to hide up in the Pacific Northwest and Oregon on these decisions if you're in the East Coast at a program like Miami. All right, Mom, in continued of bringing energy and things like that, we always find our positive with red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffins. And as you know, we might have a couple of new listeners. Also, we have not talked about what the red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffins are this season. So in case there are other new listeners from this season, what they're all about. So when I was in college, mom would always make red beans and rice. Well, she first would make chocolate chip muffins my entire 4 years at University of Miami that I would use to then heat up and take to right before football practices or lifting. So we get the chocolate chip muffins. And then because I didn't know how to cook really at the time, once I finally moved out of the dorms, mom would freeze a bunch of red beans and rice, and I would eat that for many weeks and stretch that out probably longer than she wants to hear after I unfroze it and left it in the fridge, as she nods her head and winces still thinking about it. So our red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffins are awards we give to the players that mom feels just showed it. Is there a formula to it? Find out another episode earlier this season when she spills the goods. Mom, after all that, and this glowing intro that I have to your delicious red beans and rice and amazing chocolate chip muffins, who are our red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffins winners?
I'm concentrating on the defense this week because I feel like they held up the game. I mean, in a good way. And that would be one of them to Mari Noah. Now you've got me not pronouncing it right. Mari Noah Francisco. Marinoa, who is on defense, not his brother. And the other one, I thought about a couple different players, but I'm going to give it to James Williams. I thought he had a good game until he got tired, but then they all got tired.
Anything else specific other than him just having a good game?
I do want to say that George had 111 yards just in the first half. I don't know what his total was for the whole game. I don't know that he played that much in the second half.
Well, he did have a pretty good game. He had 6 catches for 125 yards and a touchdown. So if you were to highlight somebody in offense and thinking about giving them some of that good, delicious food that you bring down to them, he would definitely be an example on offense.
All right, it's Marinoff for the red beans and rice, and it's Williams for the muffins.
I like that. That's a good choice. Speaking of earlier in the segment about good recruiting showing up, Reuben Bain continues to be a monster and a player that
right.
I am happy. And again, this is why you ask and say, how is recruiting going to get better? Players like Reuben Bain are the reason that Mario is going to continue to bring in good recruits, because just from the stats I'm reading, thanks to stateoftheu.com, he was able, 3 holding penalties on Carolina came from him. He had 3 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack and a forced fumble, and just, again, was all over the place. So thanks to State of the U for putting up those stats for me. Easy to read, but he's awesome. But I agree, Mau Noah, especially after the beginning of the year, and again, talking about why recruiting, a lot of improvement of him during the season.
I don't have this. I have not gone over the stats. I'm sorry, but we had a lot of sacks, right? Was it 5? Did I hear 5?
We had 5 sacks and 11. 5 sacks and 11 tackle for losses.
Wow. Okay, there you go. The defense. Thank you. Before you go into the recap, I would like to say I'm so sorry that Tez Walker got his eligibility the day before our game.
Yes, it's too bad for us. Great for him. Great story. Glad it's happening. Just really wish it didn't happen for him. But that's a pretty big storyline right now with UNC. Obviously, we saw how good they were. They have a very good chance of going deep into the season defeated, and obviously with a huge target for already a great quarterback in Drake May. If UNC can take care of business, we might be talking about an ACC representative between Florida State or UNC playing in the ACC championship game as a college football playoff team, which would be really impressive, especially since Florida State looked pretty good against Syracuse the other day.
So we'll Will FSU and UNC meet before the championship game?
No, they don't play each other in the regular season. So if both can get through the rest of the season undefeated, while we hope that doesn't happen for Florida State for obvious reasons in a certain game for November, there's a good chance that, again, it'll be a pseudo playoff game in that ACC championship game for one of those two teams, which actually would be, as a college football observer and not a Miami fan, would be a pretty cool matchup, I think, two teams that have really turned it around the past 3 years would be impressive. So that's one of the big games. I saw Alabama survived again against Arkansas, and Georgia continues to roll. And I'm going to say this right now, while we all think that it's not going to happen, guarantee we're going to have Alabama and Georgia somehow, some way, back in the college football playoff and probably playing for the national title against each other, because teams like USC lose a game at Notre Dame and Caleb Williams looks human again.
Well, there's other teams in the mix. You've
like
got Oregon and Washington.
That we do. Talk about the game of the weekend. That was unbelievable. Yeah,
that was the only other game I got to see, and I thought it was a great game.
I would say so, especially since Michael Penix Jr. tossed a game-winning touchdown in the end zone there with about less than a minute left and looked really good. I mean, Washington looks good. You know, you saw Oregon bully Colorado earlier in the year. I'm going to be interested to see how Oregon responds. I will again do my lament of the Oregon head coach has only been there 2 years and looked like he's about ready to win a college football playoff game and was close enough to really getting through the biggest hurdle, while ours continues to lose every ACC game that he coaches in. Not that I'm frustrated, not that I'm pointing out anything. And people will say, well, Mario brought all that talent in. Seems like he's making some good decisions.
I was just going to say that. It's Mario's talent.
Yes. So I understand what critics to my frustration will say, but Oregon looked like all the part of it too. And just, you know, really came down to a foot missing on a game tying field goal by their kicker to send that game into overtime. And who knows what would happen overtime, but Washington and Oregon delivered. And like I said, the big loss in the evening, while we might say it was the Miami game, UNC or not UNC, sorry, USC and Caleb Williams looking pedestrian. That defense is already going to be an issue, but if Caleb Williams and the offense can't get going, USC is not going to win many more games against big time opponents the rest of their season, and will be unfortunately looking again outside of the college football playoff.
Well, my alma mater got creamed by Ohio State.
And that's another one in the Big Ten where I want to just say, it looks like we're headed to another showdown between Ohio State and Michigan being the deciding team for the Big Ten, which is exciting for that game. But I'm kind of over those two programs being that situation at the end of every season. That's whoever wins that game. It goes on to the
college. You know, I was over Ohio State winning the Big Ten 50 years ago.
And you continue to be tortured.
Just saying.
Well, good news is that out here in Big Ten country between Seattle and Oregon, hopefully we'll see something different in the coming years.
I guess so. We could comment about that.
But we could.
Not today.
Not today, because the last one I want to cover is Air Force undefeated. Good for them. Good for Air Force Academy.
Yes, yes. Too bad Dad's not around to cheer for his, not his alma mater, but his branch of the service.
That would have been exciting for him to see, and probably would have reminded us that our teams both lost this weekend while his is undefeated and rolling. So we miss him very much. Don't forget, if you're listening and got through all the way to this, we are honoring Dad again this year by walking in the AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Walk. This time I'm doing it in Seattle. Dad passed away this Friday, 15 years ago, which There's many podcasts we've covered about his death and about grief and everything we've dealt with in that time, which I recommend going back to if you have an opportunity. But if not, my donation page is up somewhere on my Instagram or mom's Facebook. Please donate. And if anything else, just call a friend this week and check in on how they're doing. That would be the best way to honor my father, mom's late husband, and a beloved family member.
Well said.
All right, Mom, going from, kind of heavy talk to probably a little bit more depressing talk, since we're going to talk about Clemson coming into town and make predictions. Quickly, let's get predictions. I'm going to go real fast on this. Quick thoughts are Clemson's coming in. We don't beat Clemson. We haven't beat UNC. Just going to be same old thing. I think we lose this game. I think it's going to be ugly for both teams. I think defenses are going to show up. I'm going Clemson 21, Miami 17.
I may surprise you here. I think that we could win this game.
Yes.
And I'm going to go Miami 28, Clemson 24.
Wow. I love that. I hope you're right. You know, I hope that you're right. I'm unfortunately in the place now where until they do something different, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But here we go. Come on, guys. Mario, I want to love you. I want to believe in you. I want to throw all my allegiance behind you. Turn it around the rest of the season. Start it with Clemson. Prove Mom right. Mom, you've done so great all year with this. Can you please break us down and get us out of here?
C-A-N-E-S.
Canes. This has been an energetic episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes featuring Mama Hayes. Mama Hayes.
Go Canes!